couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're back again this week, as we always are.
Well, not always.
I mean, sometimes we are, sometimes we aren't. But this week we're almost recovered from the flu on this end.
That's true.
And the mad sickness of film festival post. And on your end, I don't know, are you recovered from your nap?
I need a bigger nap, I'll tell you. I have lapped myself in terms of my sleep schedule, where I'm like literally sleeping during the day and I'm up all night.
Oh yeah, that's nasty.
And part of that's because I've been doing this thing where I'm watching a horror movie a day, and I'm tweeting about it. I'm doing live tweets,
mm-hmm.
and which are 95% loved by everybody who follows me, especially the porn bots and the multi-level marketing.
I've heard that Britney and K-Fed sex tape is very interested in 24-hour a day live tweeting of movies.
Well, and what's funny is I always see my count goes way up, my follower count goes way up, and I'm like, oh, 15 porn bots.
Nice.
Britney K-Fed can't be watching me that much. But anyways.
Anyway.
So I've been staying up all night, and then I end up sleeping during the day. So I'm like completely backwards. But I think I would get all straightened out this coming weekend, because there's the horror movie marathon in Columbus, Ohio. Shock Around the Clock, which I'm going to go see.
And then, nice.
And then I'll have to see an Astro Boy screening right after that. So it's going to be a long
you
weekend.
You live a very, very hard life. Anyway,
I am the
getting back to the business at hand, whether
no,
you are
me.
A porn bot or a human, here's how you can get a hold of Fat Guys at the Movies. You can go to fatguysatthemovies.com, go to iTunes, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to us, download us, review us, tell everyone on iTunes how cool I am and how not cool Kevin Carr is.
Whatever. I think we have gotten some very positive reviews about Kevin Carr.
Unfortunately, these people are sorely misguided. You can also get us email, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can get us on Twitter. You can get me at twitter.com/rejects, or you can see Kevin Carr's live tweets of horror films at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm archiving those on Fat Guys in the Movies now.
Oh, that's right.
So if you missed, like, you know, my live tweet of Zombie, you can go to Fat Guys in the Movies and you can watch Zombie and you can see what I have to say about it, and the time code's in there.
And you can laugh to yourself at home.
That's right. So there you go. Anything else new? Anything else exciting happening in your life, Neil? You haven't seen any
movies
this week.
I missed some screenings this week. I'm not happy about that. I actually was going to go to Where the Wild Things Are. There was a screening, and I had...
You were sent to bed without supper. Is that right?
Something.
Is that what
happened
to you?
Yes, something very similar to that, yes. And then did not get invited to Law Abiding Citizen, which kind of pisses me off.
That's kind of a shame, because I think you might have enjoyed that movie. And your mom...
My mom is going to be so disappointed that I cannot review that in advance for her. But I will tell you this, Kevin. I am going to go to both films this weekend, because our good man, Dr. Kolobias, went to both of them. And from the sound of it, regardless of his opinion of the movies, they both sound like movies I'm going to want to see.
Yeah, and it would be even better if they just, you can roll them into one and it'd be where the law-abiding citizens are.
Right, and
it would be a different movie.
Well, essentially, that would be a film in which Gerard Butler starts killing the wild things.
Yes, yes,
that could be interesting.
Yes.
So there you go. But there's another movie coming out this week that I wasn't even aware of until I got the show notes that this was coming out now. I thought it was later.
Well, you know what it is. You don't see you. I go to like the midnight shows of like the horror movies that we don't get screened, and they add this to every this trailer has been on every single horror movie that I've seen.
I've seen the trailer somewhere. About 100 times. It just for some reason I could never put together one and two and figure out that this movie was coming out this week and not in the future. So anyway, the movie is Stepfather. It is the dude from Nip Tuck starring as a psychotic stepfather in this remake of the 1987 cult classic.
Michael, this is David.
Good to finally meet you.
Your return makes us complete. Family is the most important thing.
We're going to put this family back together. You and me, father and son. Stepfather.
Cutter, how are you?
Did you happen to see America's Most Wanted last night?
What'd she want?
She had seen the story about this killer. The police sketches look just like you.
Great, this will make me a hit with the neighbors.
Is it really a cult classic?
Actually, it is. It is. With, it is a beloved movie with Terry O'Quinn.
Terry
from
O'Quinn,
Lost.
The legend, I guess.
The plan for me, I was planning to see the original. I've never actually seen the original, but I was planning to see the original this week, and I was going to actually. It was on my 31 Days of October horror movie list. The thing is, allegedly, the publicist is supposed to be sending me a copy because the DVD came out this week. It has not shown up. Now, it's a smaller house that's doing it, so sometimes I get
Don't
stuff
you have
late.
Netflix, man? Netflix up in this.
I started Netflix, but I said, I don't need to put that in my queue because I should be getting the DVD of the movie. This was a couple weeks ago, and it hasn't come. It'll probably come, like, in November, which seriously happens sometimes. You get these, like, really, really late. So I wanted to see it. Then I went to, like, video stores in town. It's, like, literally not in any video store in Columbus, even though I remember seeing it in video stores when I was younger, but that was VHS, so... one of these days I'll event. It's on Netflix and it's in my queue now, so I'm going to request it. Netflix will send it to me right before I get it from the publicist. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, they didn't screen this, did they?
This is a Screen Gems movie. They didn't screen anything.
Well, I mean,
except,
I guess
quarantine.
I don't know. In their defense, it does cost money to screen things for press. So,
true.
I mean, if you really don't have a lot of money going on, I mean.
Well, it's Screen Gems. Screen Gems isn't Screen Gem just as an across the board policy to not. Well, yeah, but Sony will screen some things, but the Screen Gems group, the last Screen Gems movie that I think was actually screened for press was Quarantine, and then like before that, it was like I don't know, The Covenant. I mean, they only do them occasionally, and then they just stop doing them, and then Screen Gems will do screenings. I guarantee you that their Thursday night in Columbus, there's a screening of it somewhere. It's just they don't allow press in. Now, sometimes I'm so awesome that I can sneak into those screenings, but I would rather just go to the midnight show and then just crap all over the movie without having to withhold my review.
Right. Who knows? It could very well suck. It's got the dude from Nip Tuck, you're right. And then
not the awesome dude.
What's his name?
Not Julian McMahon.
Julian McMahon.
The
other guy from Nip Tuck. And,
It has Amber Heard in a bikini.
Amber Heard's in it, I guess. Amber Heard, but see, the Informers came out earlier this year, and Amber Heard was naked for 90% of the Informers, and it was an awful movie. It was one of the worst, easily the worst movie I've seen all year. But it's got the kid from Gossip Girl in it, Penn Badgley.
Yeah.
So the girls will be all. I don't just see it.
I don't know. Chase Crawford was in The Haunting of Molly Hartley, and that didn't help that movie at all.
Right. I don't know. It's interesting. What I find interesting about this movie is the trailer gives away quite a lot of the movie.
Everything. Yeah, pretty much.
So, yikes.
And I don't think this guy's nearly as scary as Terry O'Quinn. My guess is this is going to suck because it's a preemptive suck. Mm-hmm. And then when I eventually get Stepfather, the original 1987 version, I'll probably like it.
Probably, because Terry O'Quinn is awesome.
Yes.
There. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're rolling through...
You sound excited.
These reviews. Oh, God. The Stepfather. It was so exciting talking about The Stepfather.
You're like, oh, we're still here at Fat Guys.
I don't know how to contain myself. Although we are coming up on two movies that, while I did not see them this week, I am extremely excited about both of them.
Yes.
One, because it looks like a lot of people get killed, and the other one is Law Abiding Citizen.
Michael Jackson, this is it, right? I just got my Michael Jackson.
No, but that movie is going to make a killing. Can we just stop and say that for a second? The Michael Jackson movie is going to make a lot of money.
What's crazy about the Michael Jackson movie is there's a note from the publicist that usually I can just walk into a screening because everybody knows me. You know, I go to so many of these.
Well, I mean, how can they miss your awesome bald head?
And when they don't recognize me, I'm like, don't you know who I am? But this Michael Jackson movie, they like sent out a notice that like you need a pass to get in, and I'm like, really seriously, this is that? I mean, it's going to be a big movie, but you know, hey, don't bring your kids because he might leap off the screen and you know have Coco with him. Should we move on?
Yeah, probably a good idea. First up is Where the Wild Things Are, probably one of the most anticipated children's books adaptations
ever
in a long time. Spike Jonze adapts Maurice Sendak's beloved children's book about a boy who becomes king of the monsters.
I'm Max. I'm an explorer. I travel by sea. I used to travel by air.
Obviously, you have no home or family.
Well, I have one of those, but...
But you ate them all?
No. I have no plans to eat anybody.
You are now the king, and you will be a truly great king.
Hey, King, what's your first order of business?
It's the Wild Rumpista!
Now, why didn't you see this movie?
It's just kind of a long story.
Long story.
Last minute stuff came up, and I was going to be late for the screening, and I don't like to be late to stuff, so I did not.
When you mean late, you would have shown up after the movie.
I would have shown up 15 minutes early, thus late. That's therefore, not late. Well, you know me.
Yeah, I showed up pretty early because I took my kids, but even then it was like packed. I mean, it like sold out a half hour. I mean, like they filled the seats because it's a free screening, but they filled the seats a half hour before. The movie started. The last time I saw that happen was Firewall with Harrison Ford.
Well, I mean, if that's any indication of how well Where the Wild Things are going to do, yikes.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I was very, you know, very sad that I didn't get to see it, but I've already pretty much bought tickets to see it over the weekend because when Dr. Colobias came back after seeing it earlier this week, he just loved it. Loved it. Yeah. It's, you know,
it's getting a lot of good positive buzz from critics, especially sort of like the online bloggers.
Yeah, the bloggers.
Yeah.
It's a silent J.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like yogging, as Ron Burgundy would say.
Yes. So, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say because I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. I enjoyed it, but there's a certain. It's sort of like reminding me of like The Lord of the Rings and King Kong and also 500 Days of Summer in sort of the reaction it's getting in the sense that in 500 Days of Summer is probably the best example of it where people just are going online. The internet critics are going crazy for 500 Days of Summer. They love it, love it, love it. And I saw it. And I'm like, oh, it was a good movie, but it wasn't awesome. And I liked Wild Things better than, I'm sorry, Where the Wild Things Are. Wild Things is a different movie. But I like this film better than I did 500 Days of Summer, and it's good movie. It's a good movie. It is a rocks. Just to you know, throw that out there.
Yeah.
But it's not like the beginning and end of cinema. I don't think it's the best of the year. And but I'm still impressed. Spike Jonze always gives an incredible movie, and he always comes at it from a very unique angle. And what's neat about this movie is when they've adapted children's books in the past, especially when it's a picture book. I mean, if you've read Where the Wild Things Are, it's like got 200 words in it. It's a short, short book.
Right. It's like a 13-sentence long book.
Yeah. And what's neat about this movie is he hits all the beats. I mean, everything that's in the book is in the movie, but he just fills it all in. So it doesn't make it... It doesn't change anything, and it doesn't meander around. It just fills it in, and in that, I respect the heck out of it. But what it is it's not as much a kids' movie as it is a movie for former kids. If you read the book growing up, you'll love this movie, but you kind of had to have grown up to really appreciate it because the movie deals with a lot of heavy themes, and it deals with loneliness, and it deals with regret, and it deals with loss of innocence. So it's a little bit for a kid's movie. It's a bit bipolar, but it's still a very, very well-made movie. My kids liked it. They were a little bored in it at times. It's only 90 minutes, but you know, it's not just all this crazy monsters running around doing goofy things. It's not all 90 minutes of a wild rumpus.
Right.
But it is still a very, very well-made
movie. Because don't we all deserve a wild rumpus?
Let the wild rumpus start. That's what I have to say.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but no, it's a great movie, and it's visually brilliant. I mean, they really capture the nature of the book and the feel of the book, and they give a lot of humanity to Max. And if you remember the book, mm-hmm. there wasn't a whole lot of humanity to him. He was just kind of this snarky little kid who walked around in his Wild Things costume. But they really give a right. character to him. So I mean, it's a very well made movie.
Cool.
That's what I have to say. So it
very
rocks.
Cool. Yeah. Hey man, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to do very, very well. Although, like I said, I mean, I don't know if it's the best thing. I don't know if it's something that necessarily that a 5-year-old's going to love. You kind of have to.
Yeah.
It skews a little older. So
fair enough. Yeah. What'd your kids think of it?
They liked it. They really, really enjoyed it. But like I said, they got a little bored at parts.
So fascinating.
Fascinating. Thank you, Spock.
Anyway, all right, cool. So Where the Wild Things, I think it's pretty safe to say that people should go see this movie.
Absolutely. Especially if you're a former kid, which is most of the movie going audience.
Right. All right, cool. Well, next up is Law-Abiding Citizen.
Yes.
In which Gerard Butler seeks revenge on the justice system and Jamie Foxx's coolness may not save the day.
The Shelton case, where are we?
Let's make the deal.
They killed a little girl, Nick.
Some justice is better than no justice at all.
You need to tell the husband.
I don't understand. With Darby's testimony, Ames will go to death row.
What?
What was supposed to be a painless execution has turned into something out of a horror film.
The machine was corrupted.
Who could have done this?
Now you're the one who makes deals with murderers, yeah. So I've come to make mine. Release me.
For what?
Or I kill everyone.
Now, you didn't see this because you weren't invited, right?
Yeah, it was kind of a mix-up.
They don't like you.
On that one. But also really wanted to see it due to the Gerard Butler factor, which
yes.
I think is well known here on Fat Guys the Movies, which
yeah.
Is that I'm sure sometime in the next 3 days I will get a call from my mother
mm-hmm.
asking me if I've seen the new Jerry Butler movie
yes,
and
right.
whether or not she should go see it.
Oh, she totally should.
Full well knowing that she's going to go see it either way.
She should go see
it. She just wants to talk about it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I saw it, and I have to say, well, it's funny because I had said to a friend of mine, and yes, it was on Twitter. Okay, I know. I'm a Twitter fiend now. You are.
You're very into Twitter. I feel like you've been fully converted.
I have been. But I said to somebody on Twitter, they asked what I thought, and I go, it was 90% just rocking, totally awesome, and like 10%, mm-hmm. Okay. Because it's a story about this guy whose wife and daughter are murdered, and the justice system, like Jamie Foxx plays a prosecutor, cuts a deal, and lets one of them kind of go with only a couple years in prison, and Gerard Butler's character is like, I don't accept this, and so then he like murders everybody, kills the people,
right.
and then
which I personally think is awesome.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what's so awesome. But he doesn't just stop there. He goes after everybody involved in the case, you know, and he does mm-hmm. it from jail he's in jail. So it's this really interesting, almost like Seven. I mean, and that's the thing. F. Gary Gray, who directed this, who's done some good films and done some bad films, but he had a mm-hmm. real chance to make sort of like the modern version of Seven, which, and I say modern version because mm-hmm. the other one, Seven's like 12 years old or something. He could have made a movie
right.
on that level, and he almost does. I don't want to spoil anything. All I'm
and
saying
he
is
almost does.
He really could have gone. I don't know whether it was him or the studio, why it turns out this certain way, but he really could have made it at the end where Seven, where you're just like, wow, they really made a statement. And they mm-hmm. followed through with it. So there's parts, and this movie has the best unexpected death scene I've ever seen since Amanda Detmer was run over a bus in Final Destination.
Nice.
So I mean, it's a fantastic movie, and then just a little bit eh. So it's definitely worth seeing, and I think it's going to do very well. I think because mm-hmm. part of it is you're like. You can relate, you know, as a father and husband myself, I can relate to just going after everybody who are responsible for not seeking justice. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I will give it a rocks. It's on a slippery slope at that point.
I will give it it's time to go to a break.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment.
It's only infamous because
it's so famous.
I can't think
it's
of anything.
Infamous. Yeah. And this is the time when we talk about box office. We talk about BO.
Yes.
That's right.
What?
The big news, it was a crazy weekend at the box office for two reasons, because Couples Retreat did way better than anyone ever expected. I mean, people are saying the mid-20s, and it did mid-30s.
Yeah, well, it's, it did well.
Yeah, it did well. And, I mean, you can't just say, oh, it's because it's the only thing that opened. Because there have been weekends where there have been three movies opening, and they all three don't do as well,
Right, all three of them don't make $35 million put together, is what you're trying to
yes.
say. A little surprise there. But, you know, I mean, Couples Retreat, there's a lot of star power in that movie. Is that, her name from Sex and the City that did it?
No, yeah, her in her underwear helped. But I thought it was a funny movie. It was getting creamed by the critics. People were hating that movie. And I'm like, you know what? To me, it was like a romantic comedy. Like, if you go see a Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, it was exactly what it needed to be. It was this mainstream mm-hmm. date movie. And there hasn't been a mainstream date movie since, I think, Pretty Woman opened in.
Well, yeah, and I mean.
Well, a little bit later.
Guys have to have movies to take their girlfriends to. Not every girlfriend can be as cool as mine and go see like stuff like Zombieland. So yes. there you go.
Couples Retreat was funny. So I totally expected it to do well, although it did better than I thought it would. But the other big news
mm-hmm.
is Paranormal Activity.
Finishing at number four, 7.9 million.
When the actuals came in, originally it was at number five. When the actuals came in, it bumped Toy Story double mm-hmm. feature out of the fourth place, and now it's at fourth place. And Toy Story, I went and saw that, by the way, and that's
an amazing
brilliant.
Double feature, isn't it?
So go see it, and they're extending it.
Nice.
Aren't they?
Yes, they're extending it to the end of October, I believe.
Awesome. And so that's definitely worth checking out. But yeah, Paranormal Activity, and what's significant about that? You say, well, you know, it did less than 8 million. It was in 160 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, its per screen average was close to $50,000 per screen.
Right.
That is unheard of. That's five times as much as what Couples Retreat was bringing in.
Right. Well, that's because, it's selling out midnight shows, you know?
It's selling out everything. And what's neat about it is they had the whole thing where you could go in and demand that the movie get released wide. And if they said, if we get 1 million demands, we'll do it. And like within 4 days or something like that, it reached 1 million demands. I remember mm-hmm. I was there when I was watching it on the internet. I happened to be awake and I had the ticker up. And I saw when it turned over to 1 million. And I think that's awesome that people went in and demanded it. And now it's getting a wide release. And we'll see how well it does this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's a very cool. I think we talked about it at length last week, but. It's a very cool marketing scheme, and it worked because people, you know, and you know what really matters is that in the end, you have to have a good movie.
Yeah.
All the buzz and all everything. If your movie is good, you're going to get what you deserve most of the time.
And it has to be something that is relatable to anybody. I mean, that's why this and the Blair Witch, I mean, it came like it's this movie that like high school kids can go to and just get scared at, you know, that right. kind of thing. So it is something that touches everybody. Whereas like last year, there's a whole bunch of movies that were independent films that had a lot of buzz that just flopped. Stuff mm-hmm. like Hamlet 2 and American Teen. And these were good movies. They just didn't have that wide appeal. And Paranormal Activity does have that wide appeal.
Yeah.
So it did well. And another thing about Paranormal Activity, I was reading on CNN that there was this brilliant interview with this guy who talked about that it was a grassroots movement, and it is fun to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And that brilliant person was me.
Oh my god! you lulled me into a sleep like state and then shocked me.
I had my hypnosis going on. But yeah, I was interviewed by CNN by this weird roundabout thing of events that actually they got in touch with me and plugged Film School Rejects and everything. So
I know that was very cool.
We got some really nice play on that, and made me sound very intelligent. I didn't realize I sound that
You need to find this woman who writes for CNN and make her and hire her as your personal publicist, because she makes you sound way smarter than you really are.
Maybe she can edit the show. Yeah. Can send her the MP3. And she
be like, can you just change some of the words?
So anyways, what do you think is going to win this weekend?
What's coming out again? Oh no, Where the Wild Things Are is. I have a feeling it's easily going to win just based on the demand for this movie, and the marketing that's gone behind it has been very big. And Film School Rejects published a really great article earlier this week called Seven Reasons Why You Should See, and I think that's worth $15-20 million right there, where the box
office. That's right. That you have that much power.
And
it would have been better if the seven reasons weren't it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome, it's awesome.
That's not true.
I'm gonna say this.
Yeah, no, I think it'll win, and I also think that that other movie's gonna do okay too.
Here's what I'm gonna say about this weekend. Look for a record breaking October numbers this weekend, because you've got Where the Wild Things Are, which is wildly anticipated, and if it's any evidence by how packed the screening was, it's going to do incredibly well with kids, with adults, with families, and just with people, you know, in college and high school. It really has this four quadrant appeal, which is, you know, what they talk about in marketing. So you've got Where the Wild Things Are, which is going to be hugely popular. I think Law Abiding Citizen is going to get a lot.
I think so too. There's a demographic out there for it, definitely.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's Jamie Foxx brings in a lot of people. It's got F. Gary Gray, and you kind of put them together, and they really can solidify up their a certain demographic set. And it's also something that, you know, it's a cathartic movie. People are going to want to see it, I think. And then you've got Paranormal Activity going wide, and that one's going to do really, really well. So I really think you're going to see, like, the top three movies are it's going to be record-breaking, I think, for October numbers. I mean, you're not going to get, like, Transformer 2 numbers or Dark Knight numbers, but you're going to get really good numbers for just, like, you know, you watch the box office report and they'll be like, business is up 800% from last year when Quarantine came out.
I mean, personally, I wouldn't be surprised if a movie like Where the Wild Things Are made $38-40 million this weekend.
Oh, easy.
You know?
Easy.
So, yeah. Maybe it is easy. But yeah, no, I think it's going to do extremely well. I think Law Abiding Citizen also going to do extremely well. The Stepfather, top 10 maybe?
It'll make top 10. I just don't. It's up against some real stiff competition, especially with Paranormal Activity being the horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you have it. Let's move on to the Fat Guy 5, which is pretty awesome this week. I'm actually very excited. This is five good movie adaptations from children's books in honor of Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah, which is why the Polar Express is not on.
Right, it had to be a good movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, am I starting?
Yeah, no, this first one is all you.
Yeah, first one, a very recent one, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, like Where the Wild Things Are, is just a picture book, a very short book that they added a lot of stuff to it. Now, they changed it more, but it was a fun movie, and I thought it was very irreverent and silly and a lot of fun. So, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is number one, or the first one.
The second one on our list is The Princess Bride, which most people know is based on a book because they actually read the book in the movie. But it is based on a 1973 novel by William Goldman. So it's a novel, but it's a fantasy novel. It's kind of a kid's book. So
definitely a kid. Yeah. A children's book.
Awesome story.
Young adult.
And a fantastic movie. So
yeah, absolutely. Now the next one, this one actually has two, and they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. The original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which is from the 70s, which just recently came out on Blu-ray. Get it if you haven't, because it's a neat little package with a book and everything. But with Gene Wilder, really kind of solidified the role of Willy Wonka. A fantastic children's book adaptation. And then Tim Burton's reimagining of it as Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, which was the original title, a couple years ago. which I thought was also a very well-made movie and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But Roald Dahl has had some good stuff. They had James and the Giant Peach, and you got Fantastic Mr. Fox showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Matilda. If you've never seen Matilda, which is another one of his children's books adaptation, directed by Danny DeVito, it's a fantastic movie. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's just a Roald Dahl tribute.
Nice. And next up on the list is The Iron Giant.
No.
Brad Bird's film. From
that was my Iron Giant impression.
But this is based on a novel called The Iron Man, a children's story in 5 nights, written by Ted Hughes.
Which has nothing to do with a drunk Tony Stark.
Right. And actually, the prior to publishing it in North America and prior to making the movie, they changed the name to The Iron Giant because they wanted to stay away from confusion and legal issues with the Marvel character Iron Man.
I am Iron Man.
But there's actually a follow-up book called The Iron Woman that I'm going to go find and read because that's sounds interesting.
Do they have the Iron Baby afterwards?
You know, I don't know.
You don't, you have nothing to say to that.
Nope.
And then, of course, the one that I would have to say would top the list is it is such a classic is Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
Again, recently released on Blu-ray.
We've been geeking out here at the Reject HQ. The lovely lady of the house, Bethany, is a huge Wizard of Oz fan.
Bethany, I thought you were talking about Dr. Cole Elias.
She's a huge Wizard of Oz fan, and I got the collector set. I bought the collector set, and so we've been like watching Wizard of Oz like crazy, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's an awesome little set. It comes with like a watch and stuff.
Doesn't have like 80 hours of special.
It has like 150 years worth of behind the scenes that we're apparently going to have to watch at some point.
There's literally more. There's more hours of footage than hours have passed since the
They've actually just been time lapse filming the props. And you can just sit there. You can watch the props and how they've aged over the last. What exactly. is it, 50 years, 60 years?
Do you know who was originally supposed to play the Tin Man? Does that help?
Buddy Ebsen.
No.
Yes! Yay, there you go.
Did you look it up?
I'm not looking anything up. I did not cheat, and no one in this room gave me the answer.
Oh,
so. There you go.
My faith in you is shaken.
But no,
thanks, Bethany.
It looks beautiful on Blu-ray, by the way.
Can I throw out another a really good one? Because if you haven't seen Return to Oz, which is the sequel, that's definitely a movie worth checking out.
Okay.
And so Return to Oz is really good. It's actually Firouza Balk's first film.
Huh.
She plays Dorothy as a little girl.
Fascinating.
Fantastic movie. But we got to go to a break.
And we're back here on Fat Guys Movies, and we're wrapping you up and sending you home. And that's pretty much it.
Billy Mays here for Chipotle away.
Wow. Anyway, so that's my co-host Kevin Carr and his terrible Billy Mays impression of South Park impersonating Billy Mays.
That's just ignorant.
And now it's time to go to the DVD roundup.
Hi, Billy Mays here.
I feel so just not in it right now. I'm just so confused as to what's going on. However, I do have two DVD picks. This is a terrible week for DVD buying, in my personal opinion.
Whatever.
You can go out, if you're a collector, as I am, you can go out and buy Futurama, the entire series, which comes with this really awesome Bender head. That you can get, and it looks cool on your shelf. You can also get Drag Me to Hell. Drag Me to Hell looks good on Blu-ray. The special features are awful, so I would suggest renting it. It's a movie worth seeing because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
yeah, all the special.
I don't know if I would buy
it. All the special features are is the. It's just like video diaries, which are on the internet anyways.
Yeah. Well. So there.
Yeah. But it's a great movie. It's fun, and on Blu-ray, if you got surround sound, it sounds really awesome.
Yes, it does.
My picks is begrudgingly Land of the Lost because I love that movie, but Universal didn't send me the Blu-ray. So,
poor guy.
I know. There's also The Proposal, with Ryan Reynolds and Sandra Bullock, which if you like, I mean, if you don't like romantic comedy, skip this one. But I mean, it's fun. I liked it. There's a Legend of the Seeker, which is a television show.
Which you actually said was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing. I haven't had a chance to because it's like a whole season. But it's sort of like, it's Sam Raimi produced it, and it kind of brings Sword and Sorcery back to television. And it's not a bad show. It's selling really well on the on like, you know, Amazon. There's also, you know, Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is the Jim Carrey movie. I'm not a big fan, but people like it. It's finally on Blu-ray. Although it's sort of a green ray because like the Incredible Hulk, it's got green packaging.
Right.
Natural Born Killers is on Blu-ray, if you like that. Oliver Stone.
Sure.
There's also The Stepfather, just recently came out. And and a little bit of love for some lesser-known releases. There's Tom and Jerry's Greatest Chases, Volume 3, which I love Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry's awesome, man. And it's just,
Tom and Jerry is awesome. And their greatest chase scenes, why would I not want to have that in my collection?
Well, it's not like their greatest chase scenes. It's just basically an excuse to put a bunch of their episodes together. So it's fun.
Fair enough.
But there's also some comedians have their specials out. You got Cat Williams, Pimpadelic, which is Pimpalicious. And there's also Nick Swardson has his own DVD called Seriously Who Farted.
Oh.
So, Nick Swardson. I like
I guess
Nick
you
Swardson.
Could probably relate to that title.
Oh, come on. Do you know...
Being Kevin Carr and all.
Hey, do you know that it is a scientific fact that people on average break wind 14 times a day?
Wow, really? Only 14?
Yeah, I'm used up until...
That's science there for you.
I'm used up until 2035.
I just think it's amazing that someone's out there studying that.
That's true. If you look it up,
someone's out there counting.
Look it up. You know, type it into Google. How many times do people... You know,
yeah, no, I get it. I know.
Look
I know
it
what
up.
It is.
14. That includes sleeping, which you have no All control right. over. And it is true, men and women, same amount.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You never would have thought. You'll never get a woman to admit to that.
No. They just glow.
No. But hey, yeah, I like to think that they don't.
So, and I guess, wow, we got through it quickly. Oh, the stinker.
I know,
Jack,
right?
The stinker is Jackass, the lost tapes, because I think they were lost for a reason.
Exactly. And why would you want to resurrect them and put them onto a DVD?
Exactly. Did you get the high quality video aspect of the
show? It was just such an awful week for DVD. I'm hurt.
Almost. You are.
They could have brought something out that was good, like next week when Transformers comes out.
Well, we were talking off the air in the break, just for anyone who doesn't know, because we went from this
for anyone who wasn't listening at that
If you time. Weren't listening, like anyone else is in the room. But we went through this weird sequence of events going from Buddy Ebsen all the way to Slinky Dog on Toy Story. And that's one of the things that depresses me about Toy Story 3 is that Jim Varney, who provided the voice for Slinky Dog, is no longer with us. So they've got
the
dad. Yeah,
it's very disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Very sad.
Yes. So they got the dad from Boy Meets World to, Ryder Strong's sort of dad. I think he was.
Yeah.
And he owned the hardware store in Tool Time. His name's Blake Clark.
Yes. The guy who owned the hardware store in Tool Time. He's one of those that guys. I have a book, actually. It's called Hey, It's That Guy, and it's all the that guys. You know, and obviously people like Will Patton are in there.
Yeah, and Danny Trejo. Well, Will Patton's had a bigger career. Danny Trejo and like the old Chinese, the Chinese guy with the long hair from Die Hard.
James Hong.
Is that his name?
Maybe. No, that's not James Hong.
You're just randomly naming
but,
Chinese names.
But no, my lady bought the book for me because she knows that I like random dudes. So
Whoa, that's a whole different meaning. If you miss the whole, she bought the book because I like random dudes.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Time to wrap up our reviews.
Yes, we'll see you at the bathhouse, Neil. What are we? What are next week?
Kevin saw Where the Wild Things Are and said
it rocked.
Also, Law Abiding Citizen.
It rocks, but a little bit doesn't. Just a little bit doesn't.
And then The Stepfather, neither one of us saw because they didn't screen it. It gets a preemptive suck. Moving on to next week, we've got Amelia, Astro Boy, Cirque de Freak, The Vampire's Assistant, and Saw 6.
You had to look at the Roman numeral.
I had to look at the number and figure it out. In the meantime, you can get us over at fatguysthemovies.com. I don't know what else you would need in your life. But in between now and then, just come over and check us out.
That's right. Write us a review. Enjoy us.
It'll be all kinds of fun. I like random dudes. Random dudes. Random dudes. I like random dudes.